Good morning, everyone. How are you all? Good. It's a bit dark, isn't it? Father God, we thank you for this new day, and we thank you that you love us so much. And we thank you that however we arrive this morning, that you accept us and receive us, no questions asked. We thank you that you are not a God who is harsh. We thank you that you are not a God who is always looking for faults, but instead we thank you that you're a God who is loving, forgiving and gracious. And we pray during this time together we would recognise that and also seek to be people who are the same. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you will know, but others might not, that we have a different type of service this morning. It's called a creative service, which is where we all stay together and partway through we can go out and do some craft activities and some decorating of things. Or, if you would prefer to stay in here, there is a reflective time with music and Bible verses and images on the screen. So we'll be doing a variety of different things, and do join in and enjoy yourselves, because that's what we want. I want to read you a story. I've been reading this story with James recently, and we've enjoyed it. It's called The Blue Balloon. Does anyone know this story? Mick Inkpen. Yes. I shall begin. It's about Kipper. You've surely read stories about Kipper. If not... Yes, it's all right? Ah, there is Spot as well. Ah. But Kipper's is all right, so we're all right. Okay. The day after my birthday party, Kipper found a soggy blue balloon in the garden. It was odd, because the balloons at my party were red and white. I blew it up. At first I thought it was just an ordinary balloon, but now I'm not so sure. It is shiny and squeaky, and you can make rude noises with it. And if you give it a rub, you can stick it on the ceiling, just like an ordinary balloon. But there is something odd about my balloon. It doesn't matter how much you blow it up. It just goes on and on and on, getting bigger and bigger. You see, it never, ever bursts. Never, ever. I have squeezed it and squashed it and whacked it with a stick. I have kicked it, run over it and stretched it. Still didn't burst. And Kipper has attacked it, but it is indestructible. I think that my balloon has strange and wonderful powers. The other day, it disappeared completely, and then when it came back, it was square. And this morning, when I was taking it for a walk, as you do, it decided to take me for a fly. It took me up and up and up and oops, there's a shooting star, and finally down onto the moon. It was quite a trip, but we were back in time for tea. That's good. So if you find a soggy old balloon, whatever you do, don't throw it away. Especially if it's a blue one, you never know what it will do next. Amazing. What a great story. The blue balloon. And all because he picked up the balloon and blew into it. Blew his breath into the balloon, and then it started to do the most amazing things. Well, we haven't got any balloons today. So, our breath can make things come alive, can do amazing things. And in the same way, the breath of God can make things come alive. We talked last week about God's Holy Spirit coming into our lives and helping us to live. And to have life in all its fullness. You know, we put things like batteries in things, don't we? To help them to live and come to life. But batteries run out, invariably, so things stop working. And also, it's a bit like we have a glove, which is not really any use until you put your hand in it, and then it starts to come to life. But you take your hand out after a while. But God's Holy Spirit is breathed into our lives to enable us to live fully. Life in all its fullness. The power of God inside our lives to enable us to do amazing things. We praise God. The Holy Spirit helps us to praise God. The power of God in our lives, enabling us to live for Him. But the Holy Spirit also does something else, and did something else in Jesus' life too. I want to read from the Bible. It's from the book of Luke in the New Testament, and it says this: Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then later on, after he'd been into the wilderness, it says this: Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus, the Son of God, was filled with the Holy Spirit. It led him into the wilderness for 40 days where he didn't eat and he was tempted by the devil, but also then led him back to stand in front of people and say, "A new time has come and I am bringing it to you." The Holy Spirit empowers us to live, but the Holy Spirit also guides us, helping us to know what decisions to make, where to go, what to do. And this morning we're thinking about the Holy Spirit guiding our lives. We're going to do that by a couple of craft things which you've got going on in the back here. There are two tables set out. One has got lots of strips of paper and things where you'll be making a sort of wind sock. I say sort of because I designed it, so it's sort of not. And on another bit of table, there's bits of paper where you will be designing and making your own paper aeroplane to be flown when you come back in here, when I say. Okay. And on another table, for the smaller ones, so only smaller creche type age people, there is decorating of the biscuits. So, please do go through here to enjoy that. If you want to stay in this room to sit and reflect and think about the Holy Spirit and the things we've talked about, then please do that. Thank you. Okay, we've had fun out there making... Who made one of these? These are our handmade wind socks of sorts, wind things. And also, who made one of these? Well, possibly not like this because I was told this was rubbish. But personally, I think the old designs are possibly the best. So now we're going to check out our wind socks and our aeroplanes by having a quick competition.
No.
Oh, and I've got the old style. Okay. Thank you, Julia, for catching mine and for your help. The wind is very important when flying aeroplanes, going up in balloons, doing anything up in the air. And they have what they call wind socks at airports and things to show which direction the wind is blowing, because it helps to guide the planes into land. And if you don't take any notice of the wind, you could be in danger. In a similar way, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives to guide us, to show us which direction to go. And if we don't take notice of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we can make the wrong decisions and do the wrong things. I want to tell you a story. Are you ready and listening for the story? is a story about someone called Samuel. At this point, he was a little boy, and he was living in God's temple with a man called Eli. Now, Samuel was asleep one night, and he heard a voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel." So he ran into Eli and he said, "Oh, you wanted me, you wanted me." And Eli went, "Well, no, I didn't call you. You must be hearing things. Go back to bed." So Samuel went back to bed and he lay down again, and then he heard a voice again. "Samuel, Samuel." So he ran into Eli and he said, "Well, you were calling me again." And Eli said, "No, I wasn't. Go back to bed." So he went back to bed and then he heard the voice again. "Samuel, Samuel." So he ran to Eli, and at this point Eli realised that although it wasn't him calling him, it was God. And so he said, "Go back to bed, Samuel. And when you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" And so Samuel lay there and he heard the voice again, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And God called him to do amazing things and guided him to do amazing things. And in the same way, when God asks us to do things, often we go, "Oh, well, I don't know, I really shouldn't. When really, God wants us to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," and to be guided by his Spirit to do amazing things. We're going to sing our final hymn together, which is a classic, which I love. Jesus, I have promised. I know. Surprisingly so. So let's stand together and sing our final hymn, during which we will take up the offering this morning. We had a challenge at house group this week that during the week we would ask God to guide us by his Holy Spirit and see what happened. So maybe some of you would like to pick up that challenge this week as well, that each day we ask God to guide us by his Spirit and then we listen for what he has to say. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, let us hear you speaking in accents clear and still. Oh Lord, let us hear you speaking above the storms of passion and the murmurs of self-will. Speak to reassure us, Lord. Speak to hasten or control. But we ask, Lord, that you would speak and you would make us listen. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So may God walk with us this week, and may we be aware of his presence by the power of his Holy Spirit. And may he bless us and keep us. Amen. Please be seated.